Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. As promised, Dr. Greg Popcheck here with us. Just more evidence of what a big deal we are. We get big deal guests like Dr. Greg Popcheck from More to Life with Greg and Lisa mornings on the EWTN Global Radio Network. And also someone who just has done yeoman's work, tremendous work in applying the science of psychology to the healing charism of the church and connecting these things in a way that honors both the science itself and the revelation of God and Jesus and the healing power of Jesus. It's great work, and I hope that over the coming, I'm kind of hoping we can work more with you, Greg, and get people to know more about that work, because it's like the thing we're hiding this thing that the world needs so desperately. Welcome, Greg, first of all.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you so much, Sly.
Do you have the same sense that there's this, in the Catholic Church, Christ himself is a healer. The church wants people to be healed. The church has never been opposed to science. As a matter of fact, she's been its great kind of patron. But when you put these together, a scientific knowledge and a will to heal as Christ heals, you got something really potent.
No, I think that's absolutely true. You know, I think that what we try to do at CatholicCounselors.com is help people connect with both the timeless wisdom of our Catholic faith and insights and research from counseling psychology, because then we're able to address the whole person. You know, I like to say on our show all the time, you know, when people ask you, well, what's the relationship between, say, prayer and counseling? I like to think of, you know, let's say the person as a car, and prayer and spiritual practices are like the gas that we put in the gas tank. But we can have a full gas tank. If we got four flat tires, we still ain't going anywhere, right?
Right.
Our cracked engine block. So, and that's where the counseling piece comes in. You know, we want to make sure that we have all the natural resources necessary to cooperate with grace, because as St. Thomas Aquinas said, the grace builds on nature. And so the stronger, the healthier our nature is, the more we give God to work with.
If you'd like to talk with Dr. Greg, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It does seem that the other side of this, however, and why I think the work that you do is very, very important, is the amount of hurting that is in our culture right now. And it's a psychological kind of hurting, an anxiety, a depression, a worry, all these things that really, I think a lot of people just seem overwhelmed.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I think life isn't getting any easier. And the fact is, we do feel less connected to others than we ever have before, which is funny because on the one hand, because of social media, we seem more superficially connected than ever. But the reality is, people are lonelier than they have ever been. It's harder to make connections than it ever has.
Right.
And we are social beings. God made us to need others. And so when we struggle to make those connections, you see an increase in depression and anxiety and all kinds of other problems because we don't get the support that we need from the people that God's placed in our lives to love us and support us and help us.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. All right, well, let me start you off with a question on, I think Jesus blessed the meek. He was very clear about that. Blessed are the meek. And they're going to inherit the earth. So if you like the earth, you should probably try to be meek. But but here's the problem, that our world is so rushed and has so many different agendas, and people don't know how can I be meek in the way Jesus called me to be, but also be a person whose people aren't walking over or and I'm not getting, I don't even know if you use this language, but not getting my needs met,
Well, sure.
You know, that kind of thing.
I think that's absolutely true. So I think Christians have a kind of a difficult relationship with the fact that we have needs. You know, are we allowed to have needs? And if we have them, what are we supposed to do with them? You know, are we allowed to expect other people to meet them, or do we just need to suck it up and, you know, die to ourselves? What does that look like?
Yeah.
And so, you know, how do we have that relationship with our needs, and what does assertiveness look like for the Christian? Are we even allowed to do that? So I guess, you know, to start off, I'd start with maybe a distinction between, well, let's talk about, you know, needs, first of all. You know, people have a tendency to think that needs are just survival needs. You know, I need food, water, shelter, safety, and everything else is just a want. But biologists tell us that a need is really anything that allows an organism to thrive, to flourish, to be at its best. And in fact, you know, God designed us to work at our best. You know, he's glorified by our healthy, full functioning. St. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is man fully alive. And there's more to that quote. But the reality is, you know, God wants us to thrive. And so he gives us needs. And in order to meet those needs, we have to reach out to other people because he's created us for communion, too. And so we build intimacy. St. John Paul even talked about this, through the mutual self-giving that occurs in healthy Christian relationships. You know, I bring my needs to you, you bring your needs to me. We both work really hard to try to make meet each other's needs so that we can grow and thrive and flourish and become the people God created us to be, and also grow closer to each other. Because we know that it's safe to come to each other with those concerns, and we'll be receptive and responsive to those things. So the needs that we've been given have been given to us by God. And so he expects us to attend to them and listen to them and meet them. And he expects that the people who say they love us will help us meet them. Now, it's possible to be selfish in the way we express our needs. And the way I like to kind of explain that is, there's a difference between the what, the how, and the when, right? So the need, the thing I need to flourish, is the what. It's what I want. And I can be firm about that because God gave me that need, and so I need that to flourish and to thrive, so I can, you know, sort of stand on that. But I need to be flexible about the how and the when, because by being flexible about the how and the when, I can make sure that you get your needs met too. Selfish people want what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. Right. So they're not flexible about the what, the how, or the when.
Right.
But assertive people are firm about the what, but they are flexible and reasonable about the how and the when, so that we can work together and all of us can get our needs met.
I'm 61 years old, and that just made something so clear to me. That was so helpful to think about that that way.
I think there's so much well-meaning, but really bad teaching around the needs versus wants, because we're all kind of told that wants are just lesser needs, right? And you know, if you want this thing, well, if you don't need it to survive, then you should just suck it up. And that's where God is asking you to sacrifice something. Well, I mean, and in a sense, of course, he's asking us to die to ourselves by being willing to give up the how and the when that we want our what by. And that it does involve dying to ourselves when I can't get what I want, how and when I want it. But we still have a right to have those needs that God gave to us so we can thrive. And so by being assertive about the what, but being flexible about the how and the when, we can meet our needs, but also be reasonable about our wants.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. A little earlier, Dr. Popchak mentioned CatholicCounselors.com. I hope you will visit that site and find out about it. The internet has been a great help to counselors in a way that you can be. You can help people all over. So I don't have to live next to or have in my town a Catholic counselor. It's available to me with a face-to-face conversation, even via the internet.
That's right. You know, we do a lot of work both by telephone and video teleconference, and we have clients all over the world. So we have 20 full-time pastoral counselors on our team. And last year we did 30,000 sessions with Catholics all over the world, Catholic individuals, couples, and families. And so we're a ministry that's recognized by the Church, by the USCCB. We're responsible to our local bishop for the fidelity of our work. And so as a ministry, we're able to meet Catholics wherever they are.
CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Greg Popcheck, we've got four of our six lines open at the moment, and you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe you are one of those people. As a matter of fact, I would imagine it's for most of us at some time we have to negotiate that idea that I want to be a Christian. I want to, as Dr. Popcheck said twice, he said it just so that I wouldn't miss it, die to self and all of that. But I also am a human being, and there are things that I need. And how do I balance that? How do I properly balance that? Am I selfish or pushy if I try to get my needs met? Or are there ways that I can do that without either being or feeling selfish and pushy? 888-318-7884.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1996. EWTN launches EWTN.com, one of the first Catholic websites in the world. In the late 1990s, it becomes one of the first entities in the world to do video streaming over the internet.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest, and we're always happy when he's here. And I want to just keep saying CatholicCounselors.com, because I do think there are many, many of us who can benefit from the help of a counselor. And if you can have a good Catholic counselor who understands maybe the issues that you're going through, that and your way of speaking about them, very, very helpful to you. So check out CatholicCounselors.com. Do you do work around the theology of the body and all of that as well? I mean,
that's really the foundation of almost all of our work.
So, how is that? Is it the foundation?
So, in counseling, you know, your goal is to help a client become more fully human, right? And to have healthy relationships. And so in order to do that, it's helpful to have a blueprint for what a flourishing human being looks like, or what healthy holy relationships look like. St. John Paul, in his Theology of the Body, when he articulated it, said that what he was trying to do was articulate what he called a quote-unquote adequate anthropology, which is a fancy way of saying he wanted to describe what the Christian human person should look like, right? And so his big question was, if we take a look at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And so that bigger picture vision becomes the guide for everything that we do at Catholic Counselors. It's underneath all the books that Lisa and I have written on parenting, on marriage, on really everything, because it really describes what every Christian human person aspires to in terms of what God is calling us to be in this life and in order to prepare for the next too.
Is a lot of the, you know, we hear crazy things sometimes from sociologists or psychologists and all that, where we kind of almost intuit that that's not right. Is a lot of that rooted in just, they don't have some of the crazy stuff we hear now. They don't have, what did you call it? An adequate anthropology or appropriate?
Yeah, the vision of the person, a healthy, healthy vision of what the person is supposed to be. Well, that's right. Yeah, so, and that's one of the challenges with working with, say, a secular counselor, right? There isn't a blueprint, right? That they can say, well, I have this idea of what a human, functioning, flourishing human person should be, and I share that with you. And so, you know, to some degree, when a person goes to secular counseling, they're either going to have a therapist who says, so what do you think a flourishing human person should be? And I'll help you be that. Or they'll say, well, this is what I think a flourishing human person should be, and I'll help you be that. And in fact, there's a fair bit of research that shows that counselors tend to think that's like counseling has been more successful when the client comes to agree with their view of the person or the view of the world.
Oh.
And so, you know, what happens then is that you're getting help for a problem, but you're also being indoctrinated in a particular worldview and a particular view of the person and the relationship. And so having, you know, this blueprint of the theology of the body and that guides our work at CatholicCounselors.com, we're able to say, okay, look, this is what we as Catholic persons are striving for. And this is what we want to help you do. Okay, and let's see if we can't get on the same page about that. And you know, it's really tremendously helpful to be able to spell this out for people and help them understand why the church is saying that this is who we're called to be, and then how to get there.
It's funny. It seems so basic. Well, you should have a view of what a healthy, thriving, flourishing human being is before you try to help somebody. But I think we forgot that part. We have all these descriptions of pathologies. But we don't have a view of, but yes, but this is what the person is. This is what a thriving one of those looks like.
You can actually make it through 8 years of therapy school and never really get a definition of what mental health is.
Oh man!
No, I'm serious.
Oh my gosh!
You'll get schooled on all the disorders in the DSM, you know, whatever it is now, 4 or 5. You know, but in terms of what, if asking any therapist what mental health is, you'll get different definitions.
Yeah.
But you know, so for us at CatholicCounselors.com, we define it as coming in line with this Christian vision of the person, as articulated by St. John Paul in the Theology of the Body.
All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Daniel in Turlock, California, watching on YouTube. Daniel, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popchek.
Hello, Dr. Greg. Yeah, I was just calling in because I had a question. I'm Catholic. Me and my wife, we've been married for 22 years. We're both, you know, born in the church. But I have 3 younger brothers, and all of them, they're all Christians, but they've had, one of my recent brothers had a divorce. He had a Catholic wife. And he is, you know, Christian. And so my question was, you know, what is your suggestion, advice for fellow Catholics, maybe, you know, looking for spouses or for advice prior to that, or ones in them, on maybe obstacles and things inside the marriage that might come from them being 2 different religions, especially, you know, Catholics nowadays, when there's so much opposition against, you know, what the church does and the understanding of everything like that nowadays. So just could you give me a little bit more light on, you know, maybe those who might encounter that or encounter that right now?
Sure. And there are a couple of things that you know in the setup that you described that the party wants to respond to. But I'm just going to stick to your question to begin with. I think that what we want to the closer 2 people can be, husband and wife can be in terms of their worldview and outlook, generally speaking, the healthier that relationship's going to be. Now, that presumes that you have 2 people who are really intentional about living out that worldview and outlook. You know, so you can marry somebody who you know is basically sacramentalized, but who's never been evangelized as a Catholic, right? So somebody who is Catholic, but really in name only, that isn't a disciple of Christ. And that's going to be a very different experience than 2 people who are married in the church who are really trying to live authentic lives as Christian disciples. But in any situation, you know, the closer you can be in that, the better. That said, there are lots of couples who, for whatever reason, don't share a faith. And some of those couples have very good relationships and others don't. And the difference is respect. So respect is really all about it's not just about being kind to each other. It is that, but it's more about my willingness to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and all the things you find true, good, and beautiful, right? So if you come to me, let's say you have a different spiritual background or a faith tradition, you know, and you share some things with me that I don't really understand, or maybe I'm not in the same place as you spiritually, if I respect you, I'm going to try to join in as much as I can or see it through your eyes and appreciate it for what you see it to be. And I might say, you know, like, I'm not in the same place. I don't really get it completely, but I love you and I see that you find some good in this and I want to try to understand that through your eyes, right? And that couple is really going to have a much more successful time navigating those differences in faith than, say, a couple that struggles with that respect, where I have a hard time seeing the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things you find true, good, and beautiful, where, you know, you come to me with something, and if it doesn't make sense to me, or if it doesn't fit in my comfort zone, then I either reject it outright, or I make you defend yourself about it, or I criticize you, or I'm antagonistic or hostile. We often find in our counseling work with couples that what presents as a religious difference problem isn't really about religion at all. Because if we back up the question and I say, so let's take this off of religion for now and let's just talk about any other thing where you don't see eye to eye. Are you guys able to come to a mutually satisfying decision that you're both happy with in those situations? Or do you have to either one of you gives in or agree to disagree? And 99% of the time, it's one of us has to give in or agree to disagree. And when you see that, what you're dealing with really is a failure of respect in the relationship. And that's not really a religion problem. The reason that religion becomes a problem in those situations is because that's the one area I'm not willing to give in on. And so now all of a sudden you're mad at me because you're willing to capitulate on everything else. Why won't you give in on this? It's like, well, because it really matters and God's involved, right? So when you're having that difference in faith, what you know, I would really recommend that people do their best to marry somebody who is in their faith. But when God calls us to something else, then the most important thing to look at is what level of respect is there in this relationship? Is there a willingness for each of us to try to see what's good and beautiful about each other's beliefs and spiritual traditions? And can we try to work out how to share those in some meaningful way?
Okay, you know what? That really touched base a lot of stuff. So my next question also just kind of just on the same topic is, you know, with that in the faith of the religion of Catholic, isn't it they're supposed to, the Catholic person in the faith supposed to kind of instill more of the religion or be trying to actively, slowly within, you know, like you said, respectable manner and to evangelize the other person, to make them aware of, you know, why we do things in the church, basically trying to, you know, get them to come to see the trueness of the fullness of the church we have there. And so that would kind of be my argument also, I guess, feeling like a, and I've never encountered this, but just saying if I was in that position, I would feel like I would try to get my Protestant wife or, you know, a non-Catholic a partner to see the fullness that the church has and its host, the Eucharist, and just the sacrament of marriage that takes place inside the church also with God being present at your marriage. And I just feel it's kind of different that if you don't get married in the church, I mean, you become ministers of the sacrament of the marriage, each other itself. So if you're not, then what kind of impact does that have on the relationship there?
You know, and I certainly agree that, you know, look, as a Catholic person, I want my spouse to share that. And so I'm going to share the beauty of my faith with my spouse, and I hope that they'll be open to hearing that. And again, that's where that respect piece comes in. But I can't marry somebody with the intention of changing them. Right. So if the, you know, so there's a difference between evangelizing somebody and proselytizing somebody. So evangelizing somebody is really sharing the love of Christ and sharing the truth of my faith and bearing witness to the truth of my faith with my life and the way that I treat you. And the way that I approach life. And hopefully there's something attractive about that draws you to the truth of my faith. Proselytizing is when I turn you into a project. Uh-huh. And nobody wants to be a project, right? And in fact, the more you feel like I'm making you into a project, the more defensive you're going to become, the more you're resistant you're going to be to anything that I say. And so if I'm going into a relationship with somebody who's of a different faith, I have to make sure, number one, that God's really calling me to that. And number two, that I'm willing to respect where they're at in that journey and that they're willing to respect where I am. Because if we're just trying to turn each other into a project from the very beginning, it's not going to go very well because we don't see each other as persons who have something to bring to the conversation. We see each other as projects that we're going to be changing for the rest of our lives.
Daniel, thank you. Appreciate the call. I'm going to keep moving. There's just one line open now, 888-318-7884. Andy's in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Andy, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Greg Popcheck.
Great. Hello, Greg. I believe we may have gone to school together. I was in Hakeem Adonai household. My question is, where would you recommend that people learn the Catholic theology and psychology? You and Dr. Ray have both expressed that you can go through 8 years of psychology training and never actually talk about, you know, what it means to be a human being, soul and body. And I have a couple of kids that want to go into psychology, and I'm trying to find a good place for them.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, there may be others that I'm not aware of, but I recommend Franciscan University for their psychology program. Ave Maria University, you know, really any of the Newman schools who have a psychology program are good. If we're talking about grad schools, there are fewer of those. So again, we're talking about like Franciscan has a master's in counseling program. The Divine Mercy University has an excellent graduate program for both master's and PhD in psychology. So there are good programs out there. But you know, in terms of in really facilitating the integration of faith and practice, there's a narrow field there.
Great. Thank you very much, and have a blessed day, Doctor.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. Can people learn it postdoc? I mean, can they kind of, yeah. are there internships or things people can do?
It that's a little bit more self-styled.
Yeah.
You know, but if folks, you know, if a counselor, for example, is listening and they want to learn more about how to integrate this, I think there are two places I'd turn them to. The first one is learn as much of the theology of the body as you possibly can, because again, that's giving you that anthropology. The second thing is the research that's been done on the integration of faith and practice by folks like Ken Pargament, really good resources there.
All right, right back. Your question's welcome. We got three lines open now. So if you'd like to talk with Dr. Greg Pupchek, 888-318-7884.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carlo Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they are allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Throughout history, some Catholics have been among the worst kind of villains, right? Or were they? In Canceled, historian Steve Weidenkopf digs into the lives and controversies of some of these Catholics whose reputations have been blackened, often unfairly. He takes on the anti-Catholic versions of history and defends not only these figures, but the faith they represent. Order your copy of Canceled today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Pupchek is our guest. We're getting more to life with him. And if you, I gave the website for CatholicCounselors.com a couple times, but what's the relationship between that and the Pastoral Solutions Institute? Because you are a mover and a shaker. So I got to get it all.
Pastoral Solutions is the, you know, the official corporation name, but it's basically, you know, the front facing part of it is CatholicCounselors.com. So everybody just started calling it CatholicCounselors.com because of the website. So we just went along with that.
Oh, that's what happens in the modern world. Like you, whatever your .com is, that's what you are. All right. I got you. So it's the same thing. The number here, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Killeen, Texas, where Robert is listening on Armor of God Radio. Awful nice to talk with you, Robert. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
So I don't have a question so much as kind of just like a plea for help. So the situation is that my fiance and I are Catholic. I just got confirmed last Easter, but she's a cradle Catholic, and that's about where the similarities end, because I don't know if it was the way she was brought up in the church, but she's got a lot of negative feelings towards the church, not so much in matters of faith, although she's telling me that she just really can't make herself believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. But she's saying that, you know, the Catholic Church is hateful. It's just a bunch of old men making rules for everybody, and they really don't know what they're talking about. And she's telling me right now that she doesn't want to go through with pre-cana. She wants to go to the Lutheran Church because they're easier on the bureaucracy and don't require belief in transubstantiation. And I think she's telling me that the final straw is because I'm in the military, and she recently got caught up in a mass layoff. So we're in like a bit of a bind. And one of the options we were kind of floating was, well, I'm in the military. If I'm married to you, you'll get all my health benefits and all that. And of course, we'll still wait until the wedding. We won't do anything. We'll continue living apart. But what the church is saying is that even though we're doing all of those things, it would still be considered a convalidation. And she says, okay, so we can do everything right, and the church will still tell us on record that we did things the wrong way. And I'm not okay.
Hey, Robert,
with that.
Can I just ask you a question? Now, let's leave, kind of laying aside all the, you know, the kind of the legality stuff about it for a second. From your point of view, what's the point of Christian marriage? Why would a Christian want to be married? What's the point there?
Well, I think the Catholic answer is for the good of the spouses and for the education and rearing of children.
Yeah, okay, but when you say for the good of the spouses, what does that mean for the good of the spouses, especially in your case?
Well, companionship, support, and ultimately helping us lead one another to heaven. And I'll admit,
well, sure, okay, right, exactly. So the whole point of Christian marriage is that you have two disciples who are following Christ. And, you know, when we get married, what we're really saying, okay, as Christians is, look, I feel love for you, but I don't really know how to love you the way I'm supposed to, the way God wants me to. And so I need to find a place that's going to teach me how to love you the way God wants me to. And in doing that, we're going to help each other become everything God created us to be in this life and help each other get to heaven in the next. What you're describing is a situation here where your fiance isn't really interested in that. And so as much as you have affection for her and feelings for her, I'm trying to understand the point of this relationship.
You know, honestly, I've been trying to suppress that too.
And so I hate to be so direct about that, but I just, you know, if clearly you're a man whose faith is important to you, and I'm not, and again, like, you know, like we had a caller just a few minutes ago who was asking about, you know, what would I say about, you know, people who are of different faiths, and some of those relationships can work out. What you're describing is the kind of relationship that won't work out from that, because there's that failure of basic respect. She's not willing to see what you find true, good, and beautiful about your Catholic faith. And because of that, it's not a religious problem. She's just, her heart is hardened, and it's going to be hardened against not just your faith, but against you. And as much as she might have other qualities to recommend, I wonder if it's really fair for you to expect each other to be able to be the partners that you want from each other, because you clearly both want very different things when it comes to your spiritual life. And that's not just, you know, what you do on Sundays. That's how you live and the kind of person you want to be. And so I'd really encourage you to be praying hard about what God is really calling you to at this point. Perhaps he's brought you into each other's lives for a time so that you could learn what he really wants to give you next and what you really need to be holding out for. Or maybe there's going to be some kind of conversion of heart here, but with the relationship you just described for me, I can't see that lasting. And I see a lot of pain in there.
Yeah. I felt like, I've been trying to push that down and suppress it. Like, just for context, I'm 36 years old. I have an old marriage that didn't work out. And And I feel like, you know, the clock is ticking, and I do feel as though I have to capitulate a lot and give up some of what I want to make the relationship work. And I know that's not ideal, and I'm probably not being fair by, you know, I'm sure she as a woman wants me to be a strong man and put my foot down every once in a while and say, hey, I'm not bending on this. But yeah, I've been praying the St. Jude Novena for a profound conversion of faith, and converting to Lutheranism is obviously not what I had in mind. And I've just been hoping and praying for a miracle. It's like, Lord, I just want.
I think if I had to be honest with you, I completely understand why you're saying what you're saying, but I think you're letting your fear push you into this relationship rather than what God is really calling you to in this relationship. And I'd like you to just take some time and pray about that, because it's a hard decision and I can't tell you what to do, but just based on what you're describing to me, this doesn't sound like the relationship that either of you really wants. And I believe that God wants a good Catholic woman for you who can really help you become everything that God created you to be and that you clearly want to be. And I don't think this person is that person for you.
Robert, thank you so much for the call. I will leave it there. As Dr. Popchek said, let you pray over that and consider. But thank you very much for the call. On we go to Ryan in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Ryan, welcome. You've got a question for Dr. Greg Popchek?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. And sorry, I'm disappointed because I thought I was your favorite caller. And the countdown clock is now 80 days until the Easter Vigil.
well, it's praise God, 80 days. That's good. It's nice that it's nice to hear your enthusiasm that you're counting each day until the reception of the sacraments. It's beautiful, Ryan.
Yeah, my wife and I are both just really beyond happy. And I kind of want to aside to the previous caller, you know, I'm very happily married a second time in the process of the annulment. And, you know, my wife respected the fact that I said, you know, I love you very much, but I need to, I'm Catholic. We've been attending a non-denominational church and I kept praying, and she just surprised me the one day and said, I think I'm going to become Catholic. And
wow.
So, you know, prayer is so, sorry for taking up the time. I'll try to make this part brief. It's kind of one question in three parts. So I wanted to know, Doctor, your thoughts on and what may be the church teaching on these following areas. Neuroplasticity, whether mental illness is also a spiritual illness, and how that would relate to taking medication. The previous church we attended, a lot of people were like, oh, you don't have depression. You don't need this. You just need Jesus. And also with regards to mental health and the connection perhaps with mental health and homosexuality or vice versa, if that makes any sense. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right. Thank
well,
you,
that's Ryan. A lot of ground. Let me focus on the mental health piece of that question, because the third part of that is sort of a whole other show.
Okay.
So just for folks who don't know, neuroplasticity is just basically the way new neurons grow in the brain when we learn something or we change something, and so neuroplasticity is just the process of change. So it's the neurological evidence that change has happened, right? So as we practice something, as we do it over and over again, you know how when you exercise, you actually grow new blood vessels to carry blood and oxygen to your muscles? Well, the same thing is true whenever we do mental exercise. The brain grows new neurons to connect different parts of your brain that weren't connected before, or beef up connections that did exist before but maybe needed to carry more of a load now. And so neuroplasticity is that process by which the brain rewires itself as part of its learning and changing process. So there's nothing controversial about that from a Catholic perspective, because it's just the way God designed the body to work. In terms of, you know, the kind of the Catholic perspective on mental health, you know, we recognize as Catholics that God created the whole person. He created our bodies. He created our minds. He created our spirits. Those things all need to work together for us to function well. And so any part of that equation that needs to be addressed in order for a person to be what God created them to be is perfectly fine to address that with medication, with counseling, with prayer. All of those things play a role in the healing of a person. There are a lot of folks who don't believe in you know, medication or counseling. That we would refer to that as the term for that is spiritual bypassing. It's the idea that we can just bypass nature by focusing entirely on our spiritual lives. And if I could just believe more strongly or pray harder or you know, whatever, that God will make it go away. But the reality is God made us as ensouled beings. We are soul and body. We are spirit and body. And so because of that one part, you know, whatever affects the body affects the soul, whatever affects the soul affects the body. And so there are different parts to healing. What I like to tell people, I use this metaphor a lot on More to Life, that, you know, spiritual practices are a bit like putting fuel in the tank of our car, right? If we can have a full tank of gas, but if we have four flat tires, we still ain't going anywhere, you know? And so, you know, if we have our spiritual tank full, but there's something that's wounded in our emotional life, if there's something that's damaged in our physical being, we're not going to be able to cooperate with that grace as effectively as we would if those parts were healed. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how grace builds on nature. So the stronger our nature can be, mind and body, the more God has to work with spiritually too. So as Catholics, we want people to be whole beings and get whatever help they need to flourish and really live full lives.
And Ryan, that brings us right to the break. So I will say thank you very much. I hope we'll talk many more times between now and Easter and after as well. You don't have to stop calling it Easter, but break time. So right back with more calls for Dr. Greg Pupchek on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Don't you feel sometimes like there's so many people in the world, how does he hear your prayer? Never think of that, huh? Everybody thinks that. I'm only a little grain of sand on the seashore. Oh, but that's not true. See, God is God. And you and I have to let God be God. I don't know how he does it. He's God.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Oh, we've got a sale, and I was supposed to read the ad, and I'm late reading the ad. Okay, I'll read it. Don't worry. Did you know? Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing, though. It's a lot. We got a bunch of stuff on sale, 26% off. Try to guess why 26% off right now at shop.catholic.com. That's right. It's because it's 2026. Use the promo code SAVE26 at checkout, and we'll take 26% off any purchase of $26 or more. Well, man, they worked a lot of 26s into that. Go to shop.catholic.com, and if you spend $26 or more, you're getting 26% off. Shop.catholic.com. Use the promo code SAVE26. SAVE26. 888-318-7884 is the number here. We're talking with Greg Pupchek, More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Pupchek mornings on the EWTN radio network. CatholicCounselors.com, where you can go if you are looking for, guess what? Catholic counselors. If you could, I know I'm pretty good at this, huh?
See what you did there, yeah.
Yeah, I am pretty good at this. Where would I find Catholic counselors? Well, try CatholicCounselors.com, and they can help you, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world if you have an internet connection. So I know lots of people are like, I don't know where I would even go to find a Catholic counselor. Well, they can help you with that. CatholicCounselors.com. Yeah, I know. Ta-da. Problem solved. All right, let's go to Columbus, Ohio. I love Columbus, Ohio. Listening on St.
Hey,
Gabriel Radio. Sunny in Columbus. Go ahead with your question.
God bless you, Cy, and Dr. Popchek. I'm asking a question about transgenderism, and I have Cy Kellogg's book, Strange Things, and on the blank pages, I have to write down the answer to my question.
Oh, but this is going to be an interesting book now. Okay.
Yes. I graduated in 1972 when supposedly the law, not the law, the DSM manual for psychiatrics or disorders, they lifted the homosexual out of the DSM. And earlier, Dr. Popchek had said something about 8 years of training, and he still had difficulty describing mental health. So I thought, well, we all probably feel that way. And if the current DSM is the same way it was in 1972, it seems like they took off, it wasn't a mental illness to be gay. So my question is, Dr. Popchek, do you think they will put in the DSM that transgenderism is a mental illness?
Well, that's the problem. It already is. We're on the fifth edition revised. It's the DSM-5-TR. So it's a very different book than it was in 1972. But gender dysphoria is still in the DSM. And so the real issue is, will they declassify it as a mental illness? And so really what's at debate here is not so much, is it an illness? The question is, how do we treat it? Right. So classically, we would treat a person with gender dysphoria by helping them address the mental conflict that they have about being in the body that they were born with. The alternative treatment, which is now in favor in popular culture, is no. We're just going to change your physical appearance to match your internal perception. I think that's a fool's errand. I think it's not going to work. I think we're already seeing it begin to fall apart with the number of detransitioners that are around. But it is currently listed in the DSM. It's not a debate of whether it is a mental illness. The question is, how do we treat it? Do we treat it psychologically, or do we treat it with surgery?
And man, those questions came fast. Like it seems like the whole society had one view of that, and then it changed in about a minute and a half. It seemed to me.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's interesting that the research that is out there tends to be based on pretty shoddy samples of, for example, in terms of, suicidality and, they're the claim that, people who have gone through gender reassignment surgery are less likely to be suicidal than others. That's really not the case. There's a lot that is being taught that is not really supported by science at this point. And ideology has really outstripped the research on this. I think we're going to see a reckoning, not just in Catholic or Christian world. I think we're going to see that in the secular world too, where there are already cases where patients who were who have gone through gender reassignment surgery are suing their doctors for not disclosing all the problems that they would potentially have, and who want to detransition. So it's a very, very sad thing.
It is a very, very sad thing. I do think, and I'm going to get to another caller before we go, but this is one of those things that's contributing to people not going to psychiatrists or psychologists, or maybe not taking a child or teenager who might need help, because they don't know what they're going to get. And I think this is, like, a lot of teenagers would really benefit from a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and their parents are scared to take them.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I will say, you know, if you don't mind me offering this, for parents who are interested in really raising kids who can have a healthy Catholic view of their body, of relationship, of love. We talk about this a lot in our book, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, which is really takes a developmental approach. So it could sometimes when the book first came out, a lot of parents said, oh, I don't have a teenager yet, so thank God I don't have to read that now. But really, it's a book that's written for parents of kids at every age, because we need to start forming our children's view of their body and of relationship of love and love from toddlerhood on up. And so we talk about how to do that. And so for folks who are interested in this question, I really encourage them to check out Beyond the Birds and the Bees.
All right, Sonny, I'm going to move on, but thank you very much. I don't want to leave anybody hanging without having a chance to ask their question. Lucas is in Westchester, New York. Is this young Lucas?
Hello.
Hello, Lucas. Nice to talk with you again. Just so Dr. Mm-hmm. Popcheck knows, Lucas is 14 years old and he calls sometimes.
Hey, Lucas. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. My question is, how can I help my family and friends to seek a relationship with God?
And can you tell me a little bit about what the situation is? Clearly, you have a relationship with God. What's your family situation?
Well, my dad is a practicing Catholic, and so am I. My sister is starting to get into the faith, but my mom and my brother are definitely, okay. I think, kind of going away from the faith. And,
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lucas. So, you know, I think the most important thing that we can do, you know, as Catholics is to live our faith as fully as we can and really show others how that is producing beautiful fruit in our own personal lives and in our relationships. You know, people aren't convinced of the truth of the faith so much because of the arguments, the intellectual stuff, debating doctrine. I mean, that's all important. We need to know those kinds of things. But the way we really touch hearts is by really being able to witness with our lives to how God is working in our lives, the answered prayers that we've seen, the strength that we receive from our faith to persevere even when things get difficult, the way that we feel challenged to love more and to love deeper and kind of go the extra mile for those people like your mom or your other sibling who is struggling with their faith, you know, to really show that we're able to love deeper and persevere more because of the faith that we've been given. And when people ask, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you being so nice to me? Or, you know, how do you find the strength to keep going? And you're able to say, you know, because God is right there. And I know that he loves me and I experience him in the sacraments and I get the grace to keep going. And that means everything to me. And that means something to people. So, you know, I want to say that up front. And the second thing is that qualifies this is that as much as we want the people that we love to share our faith, we have to be careful to not turn them into projects. And we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is responsible for conversion ultimately. It's not my job to change anybody's heart. That's the Holy Spirit. So my job is to live my faith as beautifully as I can, to educate myself so that when people around me do have questions, I can either answer those questions or point them in the right direction to get answers. But it's not my job to convince them or to argue with them about things. It's my job to kind of respect where they're at and let them know where I'm at and invite them to hear about my experience as much as they're willing to hear it, to ask questions when they're interested in that, and to keep praying for them as well, of course, because it's ultimately the Holy Spirit's job to convert them. But most people come into the church because of the relationships they have with people who they see God working powerful things in their lives. And, you know, clearly you're a young man of faith, and I think that that's just a beautiful testament right there to the power of God's grace in your life, and I can't wait to see the other amazing things that he's going to do in your life because of your faithfulness through all this. Thanks for the question, Lucas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucas. Nice talking with you. It's always nice talking with you. Lucas, we've had to cut down on the number of free books we give Lucas. We were sending so many books. Every time he called, I was giving him another book. But what a beautiful question. It's your advice to Lucas about not turning people into projects is good advice for all of us. I think all of us, it's something, you know, like he probably doesn't know this, but if you're a parent on the other side of this, you can turn your child into a project. And then yeah. I think that really hurts the kid.
It does. And it, you know, we mean so well when we do it, you know, yeah. it's hard, you know, cause I've been in that position too. Like there was a friend of mine, right. Who was struggling in his faith. And, you know, I was having conversations with him and I was giving him books and I was, you know, talking to him. And at one point I'm glad he said it, but he actually said, you know, Greg, I appreciate where this is coming from, but I feel like you're treating me like a project instead of a friend. And I was really convicted by that. And yeah. He's actually come back into the church, but I had to back off first.
Yeah, that's a great, well, that's good information for us. Dr. Greg Pupchak, thank you so much. I'm so glad to have you back here.
Thank you, Si.
A great pleasure. Check out More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. You can check out CatholicCounselors.com to find out more about, well, look into, perhaps maybe there's someone in the family, maybe you yourself. As Dr. Greg says, we're whole persons, and he's about treating the whole person. And if you have something you could use some help with, it's a perfectly good place to go, CatholicCounselors.com. That will do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.